Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. With me is Forrest Reasoner. He is the Communications and Operations Director for Stove Team International. He's an environmental advocate, musician, and outdoor enthusiast. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Your organization has been distributing improved cook stoves in Central America. What kind of stove would be an improvement over what they're using?
These are wood-burning stoves, but they're very efficient. They've been designed in a laboratory to be as efficient as possible using what's called a rocket elbow. It's actually just a right angle in the combustion chamber, so the wood is fed in the front of the stove, and then because the air is turning a right angle, it burns at a much hotter temperature than just an open fire, which is generally what the people who were giving stoves are using before they receive a stove.
And we know that the open fire stoves are really unhealthy. People are breathing in fumes that affect their health?
That's right. It's an incredibly pervasive problem, and it's really disappointing that so few people know about it. And one of our organization's missions is to spread awareness about this issue. The fact is that almost half the world's population cooks over an open fire. It's such a huge problem that 4 million people a year die from mostly lung disease directly related to the smoke from the open fires.
What I don't understand, though, is why you're still encouraging the wood stove when that means usually the women and the girls have to go out and collect wood. Mm-hmm. That causes deforestation. Why aren't you promoting solar cookers or something that doesn't destroy the flora and fauna?
No, that's a great question. It's a very valid question. And it's something that we think about all the time. Stove Team's immersed in the world of improved cook stoves. And we actually recently just attended the Ethos Convention, which is a convention of sort of improved energy technologies. There are a lot of different technologies. I mean, LPG, which is essentially propane, is becoming much more widespread. The problem is that it's not readily available yet in Central America especially. There are a lot of groups that are focusing on making it available in Africa, but Central America is just really not on the map yet when it comes to reliable sources of LPG or other fuels. Wood is abundantly available in most places, and deforestation is definitely a huge problem. But with the stoves that we provide, people are using about half as much wood, so there is a great benefit in that realm. Looking at the future, we do want to move away from wood at some point. It's not possible at this time in that region.
You're introducing this improved stove in communities outside of the city that might not even have electricity, therefore they don't have electric stoves, they don't have natural gas stoves. As you say, propane is expensive, other fuels are expensive, so you're trying to use what resource they have but make it more efficient so they don't use as much wood?
That's right, yeah. The stoves use about half as much wood, which is extremely helpful. I mean, wood collection does take a lot of time for these families. To give you a picture, I mean, these are very impoverished people in most cases. These are people with very little inside their homes, dirt floors, and generally just a fire on the ground, sometimes on a little table. And a stove, it makes a really big difference. Really, the biggest thing that we're trying to tackle is reducing smoke. And so most of our stoves actually go out with a chimney included, so there's pretty much no smoke in the home at all. Even without a chimney, the stoves are so much more efficient that the smoke is reduced by 86%.
You're not just handing out stoves to families. You are actually helping entrepreneurs start local factories to produce and distribute them?
Yeah, that's right. It's a concept called intrapreneurship. It's something that has worked really well for a lot of organizations, and I think I see it sort of being the key for Stove Team to grow to a size where this model can actually help a huge number of people. At this point, we've helped about 500,000 people, which is fantastic, but half the world cooks this way still, and just the health costs are so enormous. We want to really make a dent in this and start changing the landscape to a large extent, and I think the only way to do that is really really through this kind of model where we help start factories. We find people in Central America who want to start a factory, who want to be a business owner, and then we give them all the tools and help them get grants to get started. And after a couple of years, you know, our goal is to see them on their way and have them sort of be a business that's up and running on their own. And then we can move on and start more.
If I were a subsistence farmer in one of these communities and I'm making very little money, how much of my income is going to go to buy one of these stoves?
Oh man, for a farmer, it's difficult to say. In most cases, we do want people to pay for a small percentage of the stove. It costs about $50 to produce and distribute the Ecocena, which is the smallest stove that our partner factories build. And in most cases, we find that families can pay about 10% of that. I think the important thing about that is that they're invested in it, and we're not just giving someone something that they maybe don't even necessarily want. So we found that about $5 is something that people can pay. There are a lot of cases where that's still too much for people to handle. In a lot of cases, what our partner factories are doing is structuring just a simple payment program where people can pay $1 a month for 5 months or something like that.
Why have you focused on Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and El Salvador? How did you pick those countries? Are the governments supportive of what you're doing, or they just leave you alone and let you do what you're doing?
Yeah, so far, unfortunately, we're not getting any support from the local governments. We're working in those four countries because we've found really fantastic entrepreneurs in all of those countries. I'll tell you an interesting story. Our founder is a woman named Nancy Hughes. And to answer your question, why we focus on Latin America, her husband died about 12 years ago. She was in her early 60s at that point. And she wanted to do something interesting. And I think her niece or someone talked her into going down to Guatemala along with a medical trip. And she didn't have any experience with anything like that. So she worked in the kitchen cooking for the doctors. But she got to see some of the cases that they treated. And so many of them were burns or severe lung issues in women and children caused by open fires. She didn't have any experience with anything like this, but she decided to try to do something about it. And she enlisted the help of her local Rotary Club in Eugene, Oregon, and contacted a bunch of stove experts and designed a stove specifically for Central America, and also a stove that could be built by people in Central America.
First-hand experience makes a big difference in terms of seeing a problem and finding a solution to it. How much is the international community engaged in taking this idea and making it applicable in Africa and Asia and in other poor communities?
Sure.
Because wood stoves are happening all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's actually a lot more attention given to Africa and Southeast Asia, and I think that that's well-deserved. But we occupy a niche that doesn't get as much focus. People in Central America have different needs. They need a different type of stove. The Ecocena was also designed so that it can cook the traditional foods, you know, so you can make tortillas on it, things like that. To answer your question, there is quite a bit of attention being given to Africa. You know, there needs to be so much more attention, obviously, because these numbers are just so enormous. There is a large community of organizations working to provide stoves across the world.
You mentioned the ability to make tortillas or the traditional food, and I found that when I tried to introduce solar cookers in Kenya, East Africa, people weren't used to being able to put their food out during the morning and coming back in the evening and having it ready. They were used to sitting by the fire in the afternoon and cooking. So how difficult is it to have these people adopt a different technology? Is it close enough to what they're already doing that it's not a problem for them?
That's a fantastic question. And the answer is sort of mixed. We're always conducting monitoring and evaluation. Right now we have a staff person in the field who lives in Guatemala. He's had to stop operations because of coronavirus, but before coronavirus hit, he was going from house to house, checking on people who received stoves years ago, making sure that the stoves are working, studying the stoves. How are they doing? Are they still working? The stove team's been around for 10 years. We've done a lot of studies. One thing that we find that is concerning, especially families that receive an Ecocena, which is a small stove that can only really cook one thing at a time, we see families also still cooking over an open fire every once in a while. They'll be making soup or something over the Ecocena, cooking, you know, making tortillas over an open fire. And obviously, you know, we don't want to see that. And so all of our partner factories also build larger stove models that can cook multiple things at once. And, you know, every family wants that. And I think every family should have that. It's just a trade-off. You know, we can't get as many stoves out if they're more expensive stoves. So that's the difficult part.
I know that when I go camping, backpacking, and I have an open fire, it's very hard to cook on it. You're an outdoor enthusiast.
Yeah.
Have you used these cook stoves that you've designed here in the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a yearly fundraising event in Eugene for sort of our largest, closest donors. And we always cook a few things, pupusas or something over in Ecosina.
You're an environmental advocate, obviously trying to improve the ecological situation, and you're involved in this specific solution, but you're also a musician. So have you written your song about these improved cook stoves?
I haven't. I would love to.
We'll have to have you back when you write that song.
Absolutely. I'll give you a call as soon as I do.
Do you find that music is a way to get across the environmental message?
I think so. Music is definitely my best way, just personally, for letting out the hard feelings I have about climate change and about society, humanity, butting heads with nature. Music lets me release those feelings, and that's one of the greatest things it's given me.
I'm really impressed that your organization was founded by a woman who saw a problem and found a solution to make an improvement. She wasn't an engineer. She wasn't involved in technology. So how did she figure it out?
She had a lot of help. You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time, I think. Nancy Hughes is her name, and she's still the president of the board, and she actually still volunteers, I'd say, about 40 hours a week. She's still very involved, very important part of Stove Team. She lives in Eugene, Oregon, and she just happens to be about 30 minutes north of Aprovecho Research Center, which is a stove-related organization that's been around for many decades, testing stoves and designing stoves. Nancy got in touch with a guy named Larry Winiarski, who designed the rocket stove concept that's used all across the world, and it was easy enough to get in touch with these people. She also was cunning enough to secure a Rotary grant and started traveling down to Central America, to El Salvador, and established a contact down there with a sort of a small factory sort of operation. And then all together, they all started designing a stove that would work perfectly for Latin America.
I certainly look forward to the time when we can travel down there and see the improvements and how the stoves are being adopted and utilized in Latin America. As a nonprofit organization, or internationally, they're called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, you're dependent upon volunteers. So when travel is permitted again, you want people to go down and help introduce these stoves to the communities?
Absolutely. We definitely do. So part of Stove Team's model is bringing volunteers, mostly from the U.S., but all over the world, actually, to visit the factories and help make improvements to the factories. Every once in a while, help build a new factory, and of course, build stoves and distribute stoves to people who need them. We always want more volunteers. All the information's on our website at stoveteam.org.
You mentioned that your people in the field aren't able to go door-to-door right now because of the COVID-19 situation. How else are you helping the people?
Like so many organizations, we've had to change our focus right now. Stove Team, of course, is focused on stoves, but at the moment, all of the countries where we work are shut down, except Nicaragua is still actually operating, and they are building stoves currently. But what we've decided to do for all of the factories is to start providing food aid for all of the factory workers, which in some factories is over 20 people. They can't work. Obviously, these are people who are not making a lot of money, and so when they are not allowed to work by their government, it's a really bad situation for them and their family. We're not seeing that the food aid promised by some of these governments is being received by people yet. We've started doing some extra fundraising, and we found that our donors are happy to step up and help us provide crucial emergency food aid for factory workers and their families, which has been great.
Thank you for seeing another need and trying to take action to make the situation better.
Of course.
And I hope that you continue your good work to improve the situation in terms of cooking, which is something we all do every single day. I want to thank you very much for being my guest.